Supporters of gun rights won a battle last night in Richmond, Virginia. A state house committee there rejected a number of gun control measures, including a ban on assault weapons, a ban on selling magazines with more than 20 rounds of ammunition, and mandatory universal background checks. It's the latest in a decades-long run of victories for gun rights activists at the state and local levels. In fact, the NRA considers state capitals the prime battlegrounds in the struggle over gun laws, in part because the group is already confident in its ability to influence Congress. So now, a focus on the states. That's according to Washington Post national political reporter Peter Walston. We'll link you to his article on our website at herenow.org, and Peter joins us now. Peter, thanks for making time for us.
My pleasure, Sasha. How are you?
Good. And Peter, Virginia is not alone in its gun rights victory. You've written about similar recent successes in Illinois and Wisconsin. And this is even as President Obama has been laying out his own gun control proposal. Tell us what happened in Illinois and Wisconsin.
Well, in those states, you know, this is all since the Newtown tragedy that kind of got the ball rolling again on the gun control debate nationally. States, there were efforts in Wisconsin and Illinois to regulate guns in Illinois. It was an assault weapons ban that was proposed and limits on ammunition clips, high capacity ammunition. And in Wisconsin, there was actually a move afoot. The Republicans still upset over the chaos that broke out in the state capitol a couple of years ago when the governor there tried to roll back collective bargaining. They decided to cut down on the chaos in the capitol. In the future, they would ban signs and cell phones and notebooks from the house, from the gallery overlooking the state house. Democrats wanted to add a ban on loaded guns, and that they eventually backed off that idea because they were afraid the NRA, the National Rifle Association, would oppose it. And then in Illinois, there was such an uprising of opposition from gun owners in the state about the potential for an assault weapons ban that the Democrats sponsoring the bill backed down. And what's interesting here is that these were Democrats backing down because of the lobbying of the National Rifle Association and its affiliates.
You know, since Newtown, there have been some victories for gun control advocates. One is when Michigan's governor vetoed a law that would have allowed concealed weapons in schools and daycare. The other was in New York, which passed the country's toughest gun control legislation. But what's particularly interesting about New York is that the NRA, as you've written, says that it basically couldn't do anything fast enough to stop it because New York's legislature intentionally moved so fast. Tell us about the speed element there.
Well, that bill was written in a matter of days. I think that the state senators only had a matter of minutes, many of them, to read the bill before they were asked to vote on it, and then the governor went ahead and signed it at extraordinary speed. The NRA has an incredible grassroots operation. They send out email alerts. They can very quickly mobilize dozens, hundreds, thousands of people to turn out at a meeting and speak out. But you know, even the NRA needs time to mobilize in a case like this, and especially in New York, which is not one of their strongest states. So this happened so quickly, the NRA didn't really have time to get up and mobilize. And it's not clear that the NRA could have stopped a bill in New York.
Was this sort of an intentional outracing of the NRA in a sense? New York knew it had to move quickly.
I can't get into the minds of the of the legislators or the governor. I don't know that. But I can tell you that from the NRA's viewpoint, they felt that they didn't have the time.
We should, of course, underscore, as other people have pointed out, that the NRA lobbying efforts, which you talked about, are just they're a natural extension of democracy. They're legitimate. Give us a sense, though, because you've talked about how quickly the NRA can mobilize people. How does it do that?
Well, so this is interesting. You know, a lot of people think about, they think about political influence by special interest groups, they think about campaign contribution and campaign contributions. And it's true that the NRA does give quite a bit of money nationally. But honestly, they don't give that much money on an individual basis to candidates, maybe $500 here, $1,000 there, maybe over the course of somebody's career, you know, $8,000 or $9,000. It's not a lot of money for these people, for these politicians who are used to much bigger checks. Where the influence comes is the fear of the absolutely passionate membership of the NRA. They claim about 4.2 million members now. So if you're a state legislator in a conservative or centrist district, in a rural area, even in a suburban area, if you're certainly a member of Congress, there's not many competitive congressional seats left anymore, but in the state legislative level, there are. And the NRA can really affect a large group of very impassioned people who care about one issue and one issue alone. And so they have their alert system. They can get people out to meetings. They also send out postcards. They do a grading system. They grade lawmakers on an A through F scale. And they make the most of that grade. If you have an A rating from the NRA, that means that you voted in their favor on every issue that the NRA decided was a key vote. And the tension there comes in on what issues the NRA decides would be a key vote. So, for instance, in Wisconsin, the Democrats backed off their plan to try to push a bill banning loaded weapons in the House gallery because they were afraid that the NRA was going to turn it into a key vote.
Peter Walston is a national political reporter for The Washington Post. He's been talking to us about the NRA wanting to focus on state capitals now as it tries to support gun rights. Peter, thanks very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.